Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Tuesday. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show, SJS, as we go through for the next couple of hours with you. I'd love to hear from you on the Hilscher's General Store hotline at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Seals Grove, on routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilscherstore.com, the 21st century version of the General Store. And I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio, safely ensconced in the chateau, with armed guards. Kevin, speak.
What am I, a dog now? You have to tell me when to speak?
No. You guys can go away now. He's in Sunbury.
Oh, that's okay. What you wanted.
There
I understand.
We go. Well done.
You wanted to make sure you were covered. I see.
Well done. Okay, you guys can leave. Thank you.
The Steve Jones Secret Service.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, take care, sport. Yeah, tomorrow, same time. Okay, thanks. All right, and the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You are now, of course, sitting there saying, I can't believe I walked into another one.
I didn't walk into it. I strolled into it. It was a casual saunter.
You're getting upset, I can tell. All right. Today, David Taylor, one of the top wrestlers in the country. He has gone to the national final three consecutive years. He won a year ago. He has one more shot at it this time. He's also working with the U.S. national team. He's going to join us at 3:35 today. Should be an intriguing 15, 20 minutes with one of the best that I think a lot of fans up and down the valley have great respect for, and a lot of fans up and down the valley really want to hear from. He's intelligent, thoughtful. He already has his degree. And is an amazing young man, and we'll be very pleased to have him on the show today. The Kevin Herr rant of the day is at 4:40. Do you have said rant ready?
Kind of. I have a couple of them, so I have to decide which one I want to rant with.
You could always use the other one tomorrow.
That's the point. Which one would be better today? That's what I'm debating about now.
Are these rants put together out of confusion or consumed with hate?
Sometimes confusion, not hate, but
dislike.
How about intense need to change? How's that?
Sure, if that's what you want to do.
Like yesterday with the All-Star thing, there's a need change.
I thought you were referring to the need to change the host. Well, okay, that's fine. Does Lawrence let you rant?
What, on the mark? No. I just answer the phones and play the music.
Does Lawrence rant?
Sometimes. Not quite as dramatically as I do, though.
Does Reichle rant?
Oh, absolutely.
Does Reichle make sense?
I will take the fifth on this, please.
Questions I ponder. You know, I'm going to see Reichle soon at some point. He goes, what'd that mean?
What are you trying to say?
What are you trying to say? Not much. Does Kelly rant? Actually, Drew doesn't rant now. Sean Carey listens to the show, doesn't rant, but comments on your rants.
He does.
And it's 50-50, isn't it?
Whether he likes it or agrees with it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, listeners are more than welcome to comment on my rants as well. I mean, we have Facebook.
I want them to comment on your rants.
We have the phone number.
Groundswell. I do not want this to be a listener rantless zone.
I encourage listener rants as well. I love that because sometimes that gets my rant going.
I want listeners to rant on your rant.
That's a lot of ranting.
Well, let's get the rant now of Above the Noise with Dan Patrick. We want to see you
Sunbury Motors Kia has 10 days to sell 50 more new Kias. The only way this will happen is to, number one, lower all selling prices. Number two, increase all trade valuations. Number three, give you the lowest interest rate you deserve. Sunbury Motors Kia has 2013 Kia Souls starting at $14,824 with interest rates starting at 1.9%. Built in the USA, 2013 Optimas are discounted up to $5,000 with selling prices starting at $19,998 and 0% financing available for 60 months. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 5-year, 60,000-mile basic warranty. Motor Trend's number one-rated full-size sedan, the 2014 Kia Cadenza, is in stock, ready to bathe you in luxury. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Golden Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Kia's are Renault and Optima. GDI models are assembled in the United States from U.S. and globally sourced parts. Must qualify for special incentives. And KMF bonus cash to be applied. Not everyone qualifies for low financing.
All right. Obviously playing the theme song because the new bowl alliance is announced with the Kraft Hunger Bowl and the Holiday Bowl.
That's what it was. You saw right through it. Isn't the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl? Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I had it right.
Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl. And the ACC announced its part in the Pinstripe Bowl. It's, as I mentioned yesterday, I think it's just good for the Big Ten to have a balance between Florida bowls, California bowls, and some others that are intriguing places to go. I think they got too tied into Florida when they got it, you know, with the Gator Bowl. And I think that, you know, now I think they've achieved a balance. And I think especially getting the Holiday Bowl back was very, very important.
You went to the Alamo Bowl, didn't you?
Well, I've gone to the Holiday Bowl. I've gone to the Alamo Bowl. I've gone to the Capital One Bowl a couple times, three times. I don't know. I've got the Outback Bowl, the Heart of Dallas, the Rose Bowl, Orange Bowl.
San Antonio's a nice place to vacation in
gorgeous.
January.
Gorgeous.
Well, December, actually.
Gorgeous. The Riverwalk is just fabulous. Yeah, that entire setup down there. Alamo kind of looks like your house. So let's...
they have a water park named Schlitterbahn that was a lot of fun when I was there.
And they still talk about you being there.
I'm sure they do.
Yasiel Puig, big RBI. We get Vin on the call.
Swung on and hit down the right field line. Racing over and looking and watching a home run is right fielder Hunter Pence. Tim Lincecum looking on in the dugout, and Puig has done it again. If you want to pitch him away, he'll go away. And he hit it right down the right field line for the home run.
Charlie Steiner, his take.
Yasiel Puig, 434, 7 home runs. 13 runs batted in, line drive, base hit into left field, he delivers again. Hope he doesn't trip over his cape on the way to first. 2-1 Dodgers.
$80 billion in payroll, and this guy comes up from Cuba and hits.
That's what I was thinking. Those were my exact thoughts. I mean, they spent an awful lot of money on players, and this guy's hitting, what, 4-something, is it what Charlie said?
Yeah. You know, and he's like, yeah. And like the major league minimum's like, yeah, this is great. I can eat the major league minimum. The Castros wouldn't have done that for me.
I just like any excuse to play Vin Scully and Charlie Steiner.
Yes, they're both really, really good in their own ways. Today, David Taylor on the show. Tomorrow, we're going to have a baseball show for you. Rob Beardtemple, the beat writer for the Pirates, will join us from Seattle, and then we'll be joined by Chris Wheeler tomorrow. Thursday, Patrick Chambers, the Nittany Lion basketball coach. Friday, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, to update us on the latest on Ben Roethlisberger. Once we get your questions out of the way, then we'll get to the intriguing part of the interview.
My questions? Listen, yes. The guy's got they put a hinge on his knee so they can open it up with ease now. That's how many times they've been into his knee. It's nothing anymore. I've become calm about the whole thing.
Numb.
No, not numb. I don't know if numb's not fair.
Well, okay. Numb.
Because I'm sure it hurts him.
I'm sure it does.
But, you know, it's happened so often, it just doesn't seem like a big deal anymore. That astounds you, doesn't it?
Normally, you panic over everything.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That astounds you, doesn't it?
Normally, you panic over everything. And I think right now, all you're doing is masking it.
Now, if this were August, I'd be a little more worried.
You're trying right now. It's not a question of you convincing me. You're trying to convince yourself you're not panicked. That's what you're doing.
You know, it's been annoying ever since the NBA ended.
This show?
Maybe. No. The question, and it comes up all the time, and it drives me insane. Is LeBron better than Michael Jordan?
Yeah, but you have to remember the tone and tenor of most talk shows. Okay? There's too much LCD going on. Now you're asking what LCD is. Lowest common denominator. You know, I think one of the things that you have to do in this job is you have to respect your audience and respect the knowledge of your audience. Now, you also have to understand that you also, if you're sitting in this spot, that there may be some things that you can contribute to the broadcast that the fans didn't know. You know, somebody wants to call me about Penn State football, about this player, that player, where they may stand, why they stand in a certain spot on the depth chart, why they don't, where they've been banged up, has that held them back, basketball. You know, you see virtually everybody during the season. The draft is coming up next week. I can't begin to tell you how many of those guys I've seen in person. You know, so maybe you can bring some stuff to the table, some insight and some inside that people can't get anywhere else. But you have to respect your audience. And this is LeBron better than Michael and Michael LeBron. That's lowest common denominator, silly, stupid stuff that just kills 3 hours and shows that nobody prepared. That's what I think.
Not arguing with you. It's just I'm tired of hearing the question. It's an impossible question to make an intelligent decision about.
They're different players
right.
from different times.
Different
and
eras of basketball. That's correct.
I mean, I've always said the entire time, if I had to pick one guy in his prime to build my franchise around to win in basketball, it would be Bill Russell. If I have one guy to build my franchise around, and the rest of the world's going to say Gretzky, and you would be absolutely justified in it, but I'd pick Orr. In his prime before the knees got shot. The bottom line is the two best teams in the NBA and the NHL won their championships this year. Blackhawks, I was in Chicago when they were in the middle of that opening streak to start the season. That city was absolutely nuts over that team. They were the front page. Not the Bulls, the Blackhawks. So the best two teams in their respective leagues won the championship this year. They each faced elimination. They fought through it each time. And they won. But this debate about who's the best. I mean, like I said, in my personal preference, would I take Orr over Gretzky? Yeah, but if you were to take Gretzky, you'd be telling me that you think he's the best. And guess what? You're just as right as I am. It's a personal preference. James and Jordan are different players. Jordan was a great one-on-one defender. James is really good. Jordan did a good job of developing his outside shot. LeBron worked tirelessly in the offseason to make his outside shot better, and it's paid incredible dividends. James is a much better rebounder. James is a better passer. So what?
Well, Michael wasn't asked to be a rebounder. He had Rodman for that.
Well, yeah, but it's more than just that, though. You still, on longer shots, have to rebound the basketball. Rebounding guards and the advent of the three-point shot are so important in today's game because you have longer caroms. That's why. I think LeBron's actually closer in his game to Magic Johnson than he is to Jordan in terms of how he plays because of the passing part of it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Kevin, during the break, by the way, was just saying how much he hopes the Patriots go down, that it wouldn't bother him if they went down.
I did say that.
It was the kind of petty thing I've expected.
Name someone who's a Steeler fan that wants to see the Patriots succeed.
Steeler fans don't want anybody except the Steelers to succeed.
Bingo. But if you had your choice of teams that would fail miserably, obviously Baltimore would be first. Well, that didn't work too well last year. Cleveland would be second. And the Patriots would be a close third. Cincinnati is just Cincinnati, and you just expect that to happen.
What about the Dallas Cowboys?
I don't see that rivalry anymore. I think it's gone now. I just don't see it there anymore.
There are moments where you amuse me. All right.
I take it you disagree?
I don't see anything to disagree about. I don't. There's certainly teams I have preferences for. And there's certainly teams that I look at and go, all right. Okay. But. And this goes back to a question you've asked so many times. When did you stop being a fan? Okay.
Listen, Eagles fans don't want to see the Giants succeed. Okay. The Giants fans don't want to see Eagles succeed.
I understand that. I understand that. And, you know, and Giants fans don't like the Cowboys. I got that.
Exactly.
Okay. I understand all that. I think for me, what you have to understand is, I am a huge fan of sports.
No, I you'll watch a game just to watch a game because it's on.
Always.
Yeah, I get that. I do get that.
Look, I'm a huge fan of sports. You know, will I root for a team here or there? Sure, I'll root for a team here or there. But for whatever reason in the last, I don't know, 7-8 years, I don't look at things the same way as I did 8-9 years ago.
So what you're saying is there's a chance that I could mature with age?
No, I've talked to your wife. this doesn't appear much of a chance. Fans want to hear David Taylor today, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So let's bring in the one-time, and I think with a great chance to be two-time NCAA champ, who's made the finals 3 consecutive years, now in the United States team to go to Russia and represent this country in freestyle wrestling. David, welcome. It is great to have you on SJS on the Hilsters General Store Hotline.
Well, I guess when you say get to this point, I guess there's a lot of things have kind of gone into it, but this summer is the first time I'm really able to dedicate a lot of time into wrestling freestyle, which is the style that's wrestling the Olympics. And it's kind of turned my focus towards my next goal, which is winning an Olympic title. And this summer I knew it was really important, so I spent a lot of time with my coaches and wrestled a lot of freestyle experience this summer. And I wanted to make a world team, fell a little short, but making the national team is while still in college is still a pretty good deal. And I'm actually, earlier this spring, I made a team. I'm going to be wrestling the University World Championships in Russia, and I'll be leaving for that in about 5 days. So I fell a little short of making a senior world team, but still have some things I'd still like to achieve this summer.
Nico Megalunas and Ed Ruth are part of that as well, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. The comfort of having them there and the comfort of having Kale Sanderson there, is there a comfort level just being surrounded by familiar faces?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely, it's nice for us. You know, it's almost like a day in practice when we're going to go and compete in places. But I think it says a lot about what our coaches are doing and our athletes are doing the right things and making progression. And so it just says a lot about our program and Penn State as well.
And no question about that. Now, for the uninitiated, everyone gets a chance. They go to Rec Hall. They watch you wrestle collegiately in that style. What are the changes you have to make when you go freestyle for the uninitiated?
Well, the biggest thing is just the rules are differently. The way the matches are, the match layout. So a typical college match is a 3 minute first period, 2 minute second period, 2 minute third period. There's top and bottom wrestling. And freestyle, it's the rules just changed this year. Actually, again, it's 2 3-minute periods. There's a 30-second break in between each period. It's cumulative scoring. If you're up by 7 points, the match is over, essentially a tech fall. There's some of the rules itself, so it's still a 2-point takedown, but if you get pushed out of bounds, that's 1 point, and then any exposure is an automatic 2 points. So some of those scoring, the biggest thing in freestyle is in a college match, you get in a flurry, maybe only a takedown can be given up. In freestyle, you get in a flurry, the match can be over. 7 points can be scored pretty quickly. So you just have to be so much more aware in freestyle. Holding position is even more important than really anything else. Because like I said, you know, you give up, you know, one bad flurry and you could be down 6-7 points. The match is over in 20 seconds. So just remaining focused at all times and just kind of adjusting some of the strategies are really important.
We're with David Taylor of the Penn State wrestling team, and you had 2 tech falls, in fact, along the way among your 4 wins. So you're able to take care of that. Which style do you prefer? Do you prefer collegiate style, or do you actually prefer freestyle?
It's funny you kind of ask that. So growing up, when I first began wrestling, when I was 5 years old, freestyle was really what I started doing. And I didn't really focus collegiately. So I kind of got a little bit older. And then as of recent, since I've gotten in college, I haven't really wrestled much freestyle since I focus a lot on just, in collegiate. But this summer, spent a lot of time in freestyle. I really began to enjoy it a lot more. And you know, it's just kind of something that maybe it just, you know, takes some time for the adjustment. Some people's styles, transition really well. Some people's don't. I think my style transitions really well into freestyle. And it's just it's a transition I have to make if I want to fulfill my goal of being an Olympic champ. So it's this summer has been great getting some experience. I've really come to really enjoy freestyle, and I think I can have a good future in that style if I keep making the changes that I need to make.
No question. Of course, we know for sure freestyle wrestling is in the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, and now it looks like it has a great shot at still being there in 2020 as well. Which has to be a sigh of relief. It's not official yet, but it has to be a sigh of relief for those in the wrestling community and for you who have deep dreams about representing the United States in the Olympics. What did it mean when wrestling cleared that hurdle to keep the door wide open for 2020?
It's huge. I mean, this whole, since that news, I remember waking up in the news where that Olympic wrestling was dropped, I thought it wasn't real. I thought it was a joke or something. And the reality is it was real. But it just says a lot about the wrestling community and how strong it is and how much we've had an influence on trying to, keep Olympic wrestling, save Olympic wrestling. It's been a big trend this year. And, getting through that first hurdle was obviously really important, getting it narrowed down to 3 sports. And I think that we have a really good chance, but, I wouldn't say it's a door wide open. It's still up to a committee decision, and it can be swayed either way. It's hard to tell. But we've got to remain hopeful and hope that people want to continue wrestling, continue keeping wrestling in the Olympics, I think the rule changes they've made this year have made wrestling much more enjoyable for the fan. It's quick paced. I think it should be fan friendly. It's really competitive. And the thing is, in the countries overseas, you know, wrestling is the equivalent of, you know, the NFL football, mm-hmm. football league, or the NBA. You know, it's wrestling is their main sport. You know, you're a country hero icon if you're on, you know, wrestling freestyle overseas. So I think that's one thing that's really important, is there's a lot of really strong influence over there that I really hope, I think, keep the sport in the Olympics. And we just got to hope that, that it stays, and we got to keep the initiative going strong.
71 different countries, by the way, were represented at the 2012 London Games in the sport of wrestling. I think that's a statement unto itself right there, and backs up exactly what you were talking about.
Absolutely.
Do you get a chance? Oh, go ahead, David. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No. Please, I want to hear what you had to say.
I was just saying, it is, you know, the more I've been around freestyle this summer and been exposed to wrestling the dual meet in New York, and we wrestled against the Russian team, the Iranian team, and, you know, those it's just crazy, you know, how big wrestling is for those countries. It's huge here, but, you know, don't get me wrong, but, you know, over it is, it's, you know, if you're a wrestler overseas, it's like you're a superstar, and you know, that's great for the sport. And, you know, I know they want to keep wrestling just as much as we do. So wrestling is still a sport in the Olympics, and I just hope that thought, you know, stays with everyone that's trying to keep the sport.
In fact, in Russia, for example, only ice hockey has a greater passion than wrestling. In Iran, wrestling is the passion, even more so than soccer, and a lot of people don't realize that. For you, when you train freestyle, do you do some with Ed Ruth, or is there somebody specific that really helps train you to get you ready for this?
Well, the main guy I wrestle with the most is, you know, our assistant coach, T.C. Cunningham.
Right.
I wrestle, regardless of whatever practice it is, I wrestle with him more than anybody. He really is helping prepare me. The biggest thing is, you know, the transition from, you know, I wrestled the Olympic trials last year and didn't have the performance I wanted. I just didn't have quite the focus. I wasn't really aware of the changes I need to make in my wrestling to be successful in freestyle. And this year, throughout the college season, I was focused on some little things. And once the Nationals concluded this year, and I was right back in the room almost immediately, focused on what I thought I needed to do. I've made leaps and bounds working with Coach Cunningham and Coach Sanderson, and I still have many more, you know, changes I can still make, which I'm really looking forward to. And those coaches help me more than anyone. You know, I can sit down and analyze, you know, what little things I need. And that's reality. Is it's just inches that separate, you know, from being thrown on the national team to be the representative of the United States. And it's not really a whole lot of things, but it's a couple adjustments that I can make, and I still need to make, that are going to separate me. And I can't thank my coaches enough for being there for me every day to help make those changes. So that's, when you say who I wrestle with Coach the most. And then also just going with Ed and some of our other guys that are better in the room every day helping us get better. And you can't really ask for anything more than that.
We're with David Taylor of the Penn State wrestling team and also part of the United States team. David, a football player, they'll talk about the winter program that physically changes them so they can get ready for a season. A basketball player literally makes their game in the summer. We see the fruits of it in the winter, but they make their game in the summer. As a wrestler, are there some things in freestyle that can translate to collegiate wrestling that actually will benefit you in the collegiate season?
Well, absolutely. I would say the being able to score no matter what style you're in is important. So you're always constantly working on finding more ways to be creative and how to set guys up and take them down. When you're talking about wrestling the best guys in the country, the best guys in the world, you know, obviously if you're being able to score on those guys and defend, you're doing the right things. But in freestyle, one of the things that's so much more important than I believe really than in college is just, you know, positioning on the mat. You know, Matt, like in college, you can afford to get in a flurry and go out of bounds. In freestyle, you go out of bounds, you're giving up a point. So you just, the mat positioning and holding position, is the focus on that in freestyle is going to make your college wrestling that much better. Just controlling the center of the mat, pressing the guy to the edge. So just those little things that you don't really focus on as much in wrestling, you know, during the college season that you have to be so much more aware of in freestyle is going to make, I believe is going to make me a better wrestler all around. So, but when it comes to said, you know, basketball, you know, their summer is so important. I did the same thing with wrestling. I've made my biggest gains as a wrestler right. in the summers because that's been, you know, this summer's a little different because I've been competing so frequently. But in a normal summer, you don't really compete that often, and that's when you can go in the room and you, there's no pressure, there's no making weight, there's nothing. You just go in the room and wrestle, and that's when you figure things out because there's just the environment's just much more relaxed. And you just have, you know, you just kind of go in with someone and you just figure what out you need to get better at and you work in those positions. And, you know, those summer adjustments make you better wrestler during the college season. Because it's like any sport, you know, when you're competing, it's hard to make adjustments sometimes and you're competing every few days. But when, so the summer is just as important as any other sport. That's the time for wrestling when you really can focus on what you're doing and trying to become a better wrestler.
Something I want to follow up on what you just said. You mentioned that in the summertime, you can just wrestle and relax. You're not making weight. So I want to ask you about the relaxation part of this. And that is, you are somebody who's focused, dialed in academics. You're focused, dialed in on wrestling. Now you're focused, dialed in on freestyle. What do you do to relax yourself and step away from the sport that's a nice release for you?
You know, it's sometimes it's hard to take a complete step back from the sport. Just when you've done something, you're doing it so frequently and so often, it's always in the back of your mind. But for me, when I'm not at practice or I'm not doing something, I like to just relax. I often find TV series that I like to catch up on. Watch movies, play video games, just like anyone else. And those are things for me where I can kind of just relax for a little bit of time before it's, you know, back to the time when you have to be focused and dialed in, like you mentioned. So for me, just relaxing, finding things that kind of just free my mind and kind of take a step back for a minute. But there's not too many times when you know, you're completely away from the sport. And I would say that's probably pretty much the same for any athlete. It's hard to take 100% step back, but there's times when you can take little breaks and kind of free your mind. And I think that helps you grow as an athlete when you can take those little steps, because then you can kind of reflect on your performances and what way you can get better. At least that's for me. That's when I feel like I take my biggest gains. So I take that little step back and I realize what I need to get better at. I'm more motivated when I get back in the room to improve in those areas.
No, and that's really the same, I think, with anybody that works on a job or a profession they're trying to excel at it. That happens in what we do here, for example. I've been working on football, basketball, getting ready for the upcoming season, and this is, quote, the off season. Well, mentally, this is what I need to do to get ready. But there are moments you do need to step away, and for me, that's hitting a golf ball badly into the woods. But and then trying to search for it. But I think it's important people had a chance to hear what you do away from it, because you are so dialed in and the sport means so much to you. I think people find it refreshing that you can at least find those moments. And those moments are important for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you go too long without taking a break and stepping back, you know, you almost regress at that point. So it's really important to take a step back, and just there's certain times when you, like for me, I'm a guy, I like having a schedule, I like having a plan, I like to know coaches and, you know, saying this is what we're doing for this amount of time, and I'm always in their office talking to them and communicating with them about you know everything, you know, how I'm training, how I feel, especially I feel like the summers have been really important, because usually the most time, like you talk about taking a little bit of time off after the national tournament, you kind of take a step back for a little bit. I was right back competing at the U.S. Nationals for freestyle a month after. So I didn't really take that step back. So it's been really important, you know, in between these competitions to take a few days here or there to make sure I am getting that rest so I can be at my prime when I've been competing. And the summer's been really good. And now after I get back from Russia, Universal World Championships with Ed Nico, that'll be the time where I'll take that step back again for a little bit of longer time, refresh my body and my mind, and then be ready to get back into this, my final collegiate season at Penn State. And hopefully we have a great year that we've had the last few years.
And one final question for David Taylor, and that actually is exactly where I was going to go. After you go through and win another team title and you win that coveted second individual title, will you then throw yourself in your plan into nothing but freestyle from that point on?
That's the plan at this point. Right now, you know, the short-term goal is University World Championships. The intermediate goal is my final season. And then really after that, it's time to focus 100% on freestyle. And I think I can make a lot of gains when I do that. You know, when you start wrestling freestyle full-time, you compete much less frequent. You know, it's once every month or 2 months. So you get time to, peak yourself, train. You train differently. Everything changes when your complete focus is, on one goal, which is 4 years away. And, that's 2 years away once I graduate the Olympics. So it definitely changes, and I'll be going full-time, or, every thought will be going into, competing freestyle. So for me, right now, it's kind of hard to completely focus on freestyle when I have that, really important goal of winning a second national title and helping my team win a fourth straight team title. And then it'll be time to focus in a different direction, and that's solely on freestyle through 2016.
Well, there have been a lot of great achievers on this campus over the years. You're absolutely in that category of being one of them. We congratulate you on what you've accomplished, and we look forward to talking to you again. Good luck this summer in Russia.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on this morning.
And that's David Taylor. What Kevin's son aspires to be.
Oh, half of that he aspires to be of what David Taylor's been able to accomplish. He looks at those guys when they wrestle and go, I can never be able to wrestle those guys. They are too big for me. I said,
well, they're older.
Well, I keep telling him, I said, you realize they're almost the same weight class? He goes, no, they're not.
Yeah, but they're older. And as great as David Taylor is, he still could not again. Okay, the one guy he can't get past is Kyle Dake, and Dake was able to get him again at the 74-kilogram mark. All right?
But that's one of the things that I found interesting about wrestling. And I never did wrestling. I never really followed wrestling until he started to wrestle. But, it's you kind of are, from a size-wise, on an equal footing in wrestling. You can't say that in football when you got two, offensive linemen and defensive linemen. They don't weigh the same weight. There's so much technique and skill involved, but everybody's on the same level as far as weight is concerned. But when you look at that, when you look at a young man wrestling junior high, and then watching somebody the same weight wrestling college, it doesn't seem like the same person. You know what I mean?
Right. Boxing, wrestling, and yes, horse racing.
See, I don't even know if you could say boxing as much.
Sure you can. They're all weight classed.
Yeah, but there's a little fluctuation there in the weight class.
There's 10 pounds.
That's 10 pounds more than you get in wrestling.
Yeah, but you're not on top of somebody.
True.
All right? It's movement, but it's your relative size is your relative size. There's never more than 3 or 4 pounds that separates
two boxers,
realistically. And in horse racing, they try to get everybody to a 126-pound limit. So if you have the jockey, it's 111, they throw 15 pounds up there. Now, they've always talked over the years that Danica Patrick, they thought they had a little bit of an advantage because she's so tiny. Weighs less.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, do you know that wrestling is the one sport where you can be behind and down like 13-0 and still win in the last couple of seconds in the match?
Okay. Well, hockey, you can be down 2-1 with a minute 16 to go and win the Stanley Cup.
Takes a little bit of work before then to get to the Stanley Cup, but last night did prove you could be behind and win the cup.
All right, hope you enjoyed it. We'll have that posted online at stevejonesshow.com. David Taylor tomorrow, Chris Wheeler on the Phillies, Rob Beertemple traveling with the Pirates, Patrick Chambers on Thursday. Not bad.